You remember when you were a kid on a Saturday morning, no school, you put your jeans on, you ran out the door slammed behind you, the screen, and those first steps out into your backyard, you smell the grass, you smell the air, you hear a bird, there's maybe a June bug out there. You're a lucky kid. And then what happens? That lucky kid gets older, becomes a young man, becomes a grown man. And then after that, it's all downhill, baby. The cane comes out. You start watching commercials on television about pharmaceuticals, and you realize that you're getting old. And one thing, when you realize you're getting old, you're starting to be sympathetic to other old guys like you, like Mike Madigan, boss of Chicago for so many years. The feds want him in prison for 12 years now. To me, that's a death sentence. But we'll talk about it. Jeff Carlin and I. Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, is here as always. And me, I'm John Cass, columnist for 40 years, editor of johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of common sense. And where are you? Is it kids stepping out into the summer morning as the screen door slams behind him, as his mom yells out something about being home for lunch and not even thinking that someday he'll be old with a cane? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way, that's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
So here we are, two friends, Jeff Carlin, John Cass, sitting here doing a podcast and thinking all the people that called up last week who were upset with Jeff's demeanor. Jeff Carlin, what is going on with this? People were worried about you, man.
Yeah, well, you know, Eeyore is in the house. I had a hat tip to Michael Ledwith, who reached out to me after listening to the podcast, trying to cheer me up. He's a good man.
What did he say?
You know, just talking a little bit of shop and letting me know that if I'm ever up at the Evanston Farmers Market again, that I should give him a holler and he'd treat me to some pancakes and a nice meal to cheer me up, which I appreciated. It was very nice of him. He's always riding on the lakefront trail on his bike, listening to the podcast, The Chicago Way. So I appreciate the kind words. Yeah, I was in a funk. You know, it was a tough day, tough weekend.
Today's a new day.
Today is
every day's a new day. So what's going on today in this week? We've got the greatest political scandal in the history of the world. Continuing,
right.
Jake Tapper is continuing to whine like a little bitch, and at the same time, you know, like, I didn't know anything. I didn't know, and I'm not doing this for money.
Yeah, buy my book, by
BS,
the way.
BS, buy my book, BS.
Yeah, if you want to know more about how I didn't know anything, buy my book. Yeah, I know.
He's making millions on this thing.
Yeah. Sickening. I mean, it's good that anybody's making millions on books these days, because I feel like that's few and far between. But yeah, and then we caught Biden on a good day, which everybody talks about, you know, Biden's decline or whatever, and that's, you know, it's obviously we can see it with our own eyes. There's plenty of reporting. Right.
The fact is, we saw it with our own eyes, and but the media would not acknowledge it. We're like, hey,
they're gaslighting us. Yes. They were.
Hey,
totally,
look at him.
Yeah, I know. He's the model of an American, whatever. But I do appreciate the irony. I mean, it's fine that he's, you know, he has good days and bad days. You know, you have mental decline, you have issues. Yeah, you too. It just depends. Not every day is a bad day. I mean, you do get to a point usually that happens, and that's tragic when it does. But I love this, and John, you sent this to me. We were sitting down to record this. This was late Friday. I don't know if anybody saw this. Real Clear Politics has it, but Sleepy Joe,
he's going in for a sniff. Yeah, he's going in to sniff a young woman, female reporter in the hair.
I didn't see that in this, but maybe I missed it. But it was at an event in Delaware, and you know, a reporter asked him about his treatment options, blah blah blah, what's your prognosis, and then he moves on to asking him about. Right. About the Tapper stuff, you know. Hey, are you really healthy? So here, take a listen.
I've done it all because I'm loyal. I do it every damn year. I'm very begrudging. Never forget my
teeth. Yes, it's a play-by-play here. Is Biden's leaning in real close on that reporter for your sniff. I see it there.
And there's also been a lot of discussion recently about your mental and physical capabilities while you were in office.
You can see that. I'm mentally incompetent, and I can't walk, and I could beat the hell out of both of them.
Well, do you want to reply to any of those reports, and also to the fact that there are some Democrats who are now questioning whether you should have run for re-election in the first place?
Why didn't you run against me then?
You know what this illustrates, Jeff?
Yeah, Jen.
What this illustrates is, you know, we've been in the business, you and I, for too long.
Right.
And weekend crews, okay?
Yes.
Weekend crews usually are the, you know, young, eager reporters who are just starting out, and they don't feel like they have the weight or the depth to look at them and say, hey, wait a minute. What about who used the auto pen?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you give up the sovereignty of the United States to some political hacks in the White House? What are you doing? Nobody wants to ask him real questions. So it's I remember they did that with Daly too. Like when up on the weekend, you know, when older reporter would show up on the weekend, then the other reporters would come like, they were like puppies coming up to your legs. Like, please show me how to do this.
Right. Give me a quote, sir. Please.
Mr. Cameron.
May I have another?
Mr. Cameron or Mr. Carlin or somebody. Yeah. Right?
Right. I mean, I'll play the devil's advocate and flip side. It was a Memorial, you know, Day event.
Yeah, that's part of it.
And so you don't necessarily want to play gotcha journalism in that sense or whatever you want to call it. I get that, but you're right. I mean, it's a giant scandal.
That's your job.
Right.
Ask a question. And if you don't, you're going to get the mutza because I think it's coming. You know, I'm just finishing this mutza of the month, and I don't know who's going to get it, but I got a good feeling.
So I'm assuming the president is off the table because of the rules, but he would be a candidate if the rules were not in place because of the pardoning of Larry Hoover, right? Because I don't understand that, John. No one can explain that to me.
The Mutsatushin, which is the sacred document, is clear. No president.
Mm-hmm.
Presidents are exempt because otherwise everyone would step in their partisan shell and just, you know, like angry shrimp. And we'd wave our hand. And that's not,
right.
You know, what does that do?
The president, they're the sum of their parts. And so there's a lot of parts underneath them. So I get it. You know, it's.
But you cannot mutza the president. Something that my wife commented on just a few minutes ago. Because I was thinking about this Larry Hoover thing. And I said, you're going to pardon Larry Hoover?
Right.
And then I was like, I got a mutza this guy. And she's like, no, you can't. He's the president.
And it wasn't a pardon. It was a commutation. So, you know, time served is time served. So he lets them out of. And for those who don't know, I mean, Larry Hoover, notorious gang leader, kingpin, I mean, whatever you want to call it. He was, for most of the 80s and 90s, was just running things on the streets of Chicago and some of the biggest gangs here. And was, you know, ordering hits and murders and all sorts of stuff in the worst parts of Chicago, and was caught up and was arrested. And then was still doing it in state prison here in Illinois, and then was charged in federal crimes and racketeering and for
murder.
Murder, right. And so then he
drug was... Drug deals,
right. And so then he was moved to a federal prison under and was serving time under federal charges. President Trump commuted the rest of that federal sentence, meaning he goes back to state where he still has, I think, 200 years or something like that to serve. But it doesn't mean he's technically eligible for parole and has the ability to go before a parole board at whatever that interval is, every year, every 3 years. I don't remember. Or I'm not sure in his case.
All right, we're turning over the Larry Hoover rack. So here goes.
Yeah, on that please.
On that one. There's a lot of creepy things underneath that rock.
Yeah, scary things.
I'll tell you, like in history too, because George Papajohn from the Tribune and I, for years, ended up in my old neighborhood in Englewood doing stories on what was called then 21st Century Vote. You hear about it?
No.
That was the political arm of the street gangs, and they wanted to get all these kids activated and registered. And part of it was to get Larry Hoover out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see. We had Larry Hoover and Shorty Freeman, gangster disciples, black disciples. We had the vice lords, all of them killing thousands and thousands and covering the Midwest, not just Chicago, not just 114th and Vincennes, everywhere.
Yeah.
Minneapolis, Indianapolis.
Yeah, St. Louis.
St. Louis, yeah.
Kansas City. Yeah. I mean, they were all over the place. Yeah, Indianapolis, Detroit. I mean, they were all over the country. And it was, yeah, they were not, certainly not a net positive for society and by any way.
Pitchforks up, pitchforks down, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was in Latin, you know, they're Latin kings and there was a Latin aspect to it too. And I mean, there were white people in these gangs as well. Isn't just,
let's have diversity.
Yeah. I know. They were certainly diverse, but.
We need diversity, equity, and inclusion in our street gangs, of course.
All right, and we'll be right back.
With over three decades of serving up streetwise insight and local perspective on Page 2, the voice of John Cass has a home at johncassnews.com, a place where common sense is still served daily.
Listen up. You like being treated as a chumbalone, as a fool, sitting on a stool, smiling wanly at the sky?
Don't be a chumbalone and subscribe at johncassnews.com.
I'm John Cass. 40 years, a newspaper man in Chicago. I won't name the place. It's just the paper now.
That's the Chicago way.
But I'm asking you to join me so you can get a decent cup of common sense, at least. You're not going to get it from the media. It's time that you join the frontier of independent journalism at johncassnews.com.
Don't get caught in the parade of chumbalones.
Traditional media, mainstream media like the paper, they're all in on it. They think you're stupid. You know what they think? They think you're a chumbalone.
Subscribe at johncassnews.com now for only $50 a year and become a member of the No Chumbalone Zone.
And now back to the conversation. And if we take it back to its core, you know, gangs usually pop up for control in depressed, poor places. What places are usually those? A lot of minorities wind up in those places. And then you have the growth of gangs. And that's right. The NPR take on it. But the Hoover thing, back to the commutation, there's the explanation has yet to come out that I've seen, and maybe by the time this hits our listeners' ears, Trump's White House will have explained the thinking behind it. But it sounds almost in the same way that Brandon Johnson's touting, he's hiring all these black people for his key roles. That's just Trump's trying to get some street cred or make good on with some friends. You know, people say, "Hey, look what I did." I don't have an explanation. I'm grabbing at straws here, but it is one of those things that if it weren't for the mootstitution,
right?
Yeah, I think he would certainly be in the running for it.
Well, he would be, but. You know, he's not releasing Hoover, right?
Right.
As you pointed out. Right. It's only a commutation of the federal aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But the state aspects, 200 years, right?
Now, yeah, something like that, man.
Who can do that? Who can who can help Larry Hoover be eligible for parole? Who can get him out? There's one guy, Governor Fatboy, Governor Toilets Commodus Maximus.
Commodus Maximus, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that may be that would be an interesting chess move because the other or not other but one of the other alternatives to why you know Trump is doing something like this is to say, hey, let's not make this a federal problem anymore. Let's make it Illinois wants to you know rub me the wrong way or stand up against me. Then hey, then make it their problem. Make them have the pay for keeping him and the cost of it. And that would be quite a chess move for Pritzker to then release him. I mean, but if he does that, you know, then he's going to make Pritzker's going to make Hoover, you know, the undersecretary of, you know, urban outreach or something. And it'll be a whole thing. And then, of course, you know, who knows what that would lead to.
However, there's a woman, I have her name in front of me, but Trump put a woman who was part of his first prison reform effort in charge of pardons or corrupt or commutations or something. And she was arguing, I heard her argue that not for on behalf of Hoover, but on behalf of other criminals that they've been overcharged.
Sure.
Like the pretty people of Georgia. You know, right.
They're the social media.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the pardon. Alice Marie Johnson was who you're looking for. His pardons are.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Alice Marie Johnson.
Right. That's fine. And then I get it. I'm not sure how I feel about the whole presidential pardon thing. You know, not just Trump. I mean, even you know, Biden. Oh, my God. Biden was even just as bad on this.
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Well, we already been there, but.
Yeah.
The point of Biden might be who did the pardons.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, right. That's the bigger scandal there, really, right?
He's like
exactly.
a pile of goo. He did not know what he was doing. You saw the debate. I mean, we both covered it. We've both saw it. He couldn't sign his own name, for God's sake.
Right. He couldn't pick his own name out of a profile lineup. But it goes back to the question, you know, why presidential pardon? It's supposed to give the checks and balances of the Supreme Court, you know, if the courts don't uphold something, the president feels like it's an unjust, and he has the ability to overturn that. And I get it, and it makes it's doable. You wish there was some sort of, I guess, way to keep people from donating money or whatever it is, not necessarily specifically
from
this
abusing
president.
It.
Yeah, from abusing it. You wish there was some way, but you know that's unfortunately the system we're in. Not unfortunately, fortunately, because all the other systems are crap. But you know, democracy has its flaws, like any system. You know, nothing's perfect. And so you live with what you've got. It's you know it's for the same reason why people want to complain about you know guns and whatever. You know that's the system we're in. People want to complain about people being able to go online and say whatever they want. Well, that's the system we're in. The alternative is you don't get to say anything and you go to jail for it, or you don't get to have any guns and you get you know you can have all your property seized. I mean
you can live in Great Britain and open your mouth and go to prison.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
I'll take this.
I'll take this over that. And, you know, let's have an information campaign to make sure people know their rights and they know, you know, see when people are abusing it. So we don't vote for them again, that kind of thing. That's the way the system works.
It's called media.
Right. Which,
It's called journalism. We used to have this.
The fourth estate. Yep. And there's a lot of weeds in the estate. It's overrun. Now,
I know every time I talk about journalism, I have a former colleague of mine loosely connected with WGN that he gets all furious and his tiny fists clench in rage. And he might do something on his blog. But I couldn't help myself in thinking about this business with Jake Tapper and all that. Mm-hmm. I was reminded that the paper took a quote from me and ran it as a great story, which it was. It's a good story. They're even using me now as to promote it, but but they don't give me credit for the quote. For finding that quote. What is going on with that, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm sure I'd like to think everybody who's listening here subscribes, and if not, you should. JohnCastNews.com. This is a great, interesting, a great column, and that's why I was going to ask you about it. But what was the pushback, or not pushback, but what was the response from it? I didn't see specifically anything online, but was anybody reaching out or was
they won't reach out. There was one thing online. One of the former colleagues said, gee, this is such a great story that John Cass and the Viking guy, Eric, are both involved in talking about it. And they're promoting that story. You know, they're not saying what we're talking about. And I really don't know. I really don't know what Eric was talking about because I don't look at him. I don't even pay attention. But
well, I mean, for those who didn't see it, it was a story about you got Fast Eddie Verdoliak sat down and asked him about running with the dailies and what was that like and being that the antithetical against. I mean, would you call it, I forget the phrasing, John? Well, he was the anti-Washington Pact. What was that? I forget that group.
He was the boss of the Verdoliak 29 that fought Harold Washington, right?
Right.
I mean, the group in the council that fought him, and because of our limited brains in these circumstances, we reduce everything to race,
right?
Because it fits and it helps David Axelrod and the left promote their point of view. But if you opposed Harold Washington in those days, you were racist, they would say, right?
Right.
The media would say. And that meant that everybody who didn't go along with him was a racist. I don't think people like that. Anyway, so Eddie sat down into a microphone and said this amazing quote about Rich Daly and the Dalys and the Bridgeport Irish, and said to the Bridgeport Irish, everyone who's not one of them is a Polack. And it went on and on. And I thought
Croats, explained the Italian family,
it explained
you're not us, you're them.
Yeah, you're not us, you're them. You're off on the wrong side of it. Yeah. And I thought it was really good. Anyway, so I was just amazed. I was just having a little fun,
Right.
And then I went online and looked, and I saw other people saying, John Cass is a liar.
Oh, gosh.
Why won't John Cass invite me on his podcast so I could call him a liar? I mean, what a little, B word, man. Come on.
It's appalling that they wouldn't, quote you.
It's okay. I mean, I don't care about that. I don't care about that.
But it just shows you that there's weird media there's ulterior motives. And out of the irony of David Axelrod, who was your colleague at the time.
He wasn't my colleague. Technically, David is older, so I ran copy for him.
Right. Well,
he would say the word copy, and here John Cass would run and rip up the sheets. They typed in on books, on carbon books, and I would rip them up and run from one desk to the other and plant the stories on the spike. Which should have been guarded. They should have been guarded because you could fall and poke your eye out. But they weren't guarded, and you had to be nimble. Jack, be nimble. John, be nimble. Yeah.
This days before OSHA enforcement and the internet. I love that. See, those are the fun stories, John. That's the the type loud noise of the roar of a newsroom.
So I was writing about that with this whole this commentary, and thinking about was it after we had done our podcast? Yeah, I think so. Around that time, around the time of the last podcast. And I was thinking of how broken I sounded. Like I said something like Robert Mitchum in a cheap hotel room at 3 o'clock in the morning, channeling Raymond Chandler. I felt like a broken down private eye. Like, let me tell you about Moose Malloy, something like that. Right.
Right. Right.
So anyway, that's all. Wow.
It's the times,
what about the times we're in now with Brandon Johnson? What is Brandon Johnson doing now? And is he trying to separate Raymond Lopez and some of the communists who are fighting? What's going on with that? That's another thing.
Yeah, well, at that, that's a whole other bag of worms. But yeah, that's, before we get too far from the Johnson thing too, you know, or the Daily thing, you know, that was a cultural thing too. I mean, it was funny because my family on my mom's side was very German, and even they had the same kind of mentality that, you know, if you weren't one of us and you were one of them, kind of a mentality. And it's, you know, the Daily's got in trouble for hiring.
It's a human thing.
It's a human thing, right? It's, you know, we're pack animals, and the Daily's got in trouble for essentially what Johnson was touting the other day and is getting investigated for. Was, you know, they just, it was an imbalance, or they were only hiring Irish people, and there wasn't, you know, if you're not Irish, need not apply kind of thing. And it's just the irony that this stuff is, everything is so circular and cyclical. I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit the other day. And it just goes back around that, you know, we're coming to the time where it's, we have the cycle of, you know, the scandal everywhere we look, and it keeps getting worse. We've got the social shooter thing, and that was what you're referring to, John, right? That was it, Sergio Lopez and our friend Ray Lopez were on Paris Schultz's political show.
They were arguing the shooter, the murderer of the alleged murderer in Washington,
right,
he's a leftist, and he was screaming about free Palestine, right, after he murdered them on tape.
Yeah, murdered two Israeli consuls.
Two MSC. Kids. They're two young people. Including, AIDS. And one was a Christian, okay? There were two young people about to be married. And it turns out that the shooter's father was a political aide or supporter of Chuy Garcia. Yeah. It's part of the whole leftist Latino thing in Chicago.
Right, the socialist.
And Raymond Lopez, who's got a feisty guy, and you know, we both like him, stood up for it, and he attacked.
Right.
And they're upset. They're so upset.
Right. The genesis of it is that Lopez shared a couple of photos of a socialist of Chicago or whatever it was, you know, that group, and the shooter is in the background and prominently displayed, or prominent politicians in Chicago, and saying, oh, look, you know, this is interesting that he's a part of running the same circles and touting a lot of the same things. And, you know, why aren't they addressing it? Right.
He found them all in a photograph, and he circled their heads.
Right.
And that was somehow, oh my God, you're pointing out that we're of the same politics and the same group?
Right.
They don't like being held to account. That's what that's the left.
Exactly. And that's, you know, and I'm not one to say, oh, you're, you know, everyone's alike, people make their own choices. This guy's got his own, you know, did what he did. But the fact that you could pointing it out makes you a jackass or whatever. I mean, how is that fair? You know, it's reality, right?
The thing is that journalists used to point things out all the time.
Right.
Like, what is your association? Why are you with this group? Why are you with that group?
Mm-hmm.
Now, but they had it beaten out of them by the left because they want to be of the left. They want to be a part of the group. So they don't even say. They don't even ask, just like those people earlier in the podcast. The journalists are like, hi, Mr. President, can you sniff my hair? How are you? You know, that kind of thing.
I don't know if she was asking for her to sniff her hair, but I get your point.
But I mean, like, he was, okay, you didn't, we don't have video on this.
No, but he leaned in and did the
weird old, creepy old man sniff thing on a young female reporter. Creepy.
Right. I know. I don't want you to. It's almost sound like she was asking him to sniff.
No.
Yeah.
Of course not. No, she was. I thought she would. I really was hoping she would give him the mutzah, but physically do it like Macron's wife, but then that would be the Secret Service would attack her.
But here's the, so it was Rosana Rodriguez Sanchez, Representative Delia Ramirez, and State Senator Garcia La Guzman who were in the photo. And that was...
Now, is that Delia Ramirez the same one who demanded that people stand up in church and go after Republicans in church?
I do believe.
Yes, that's the one. But I guess church is not sacred to her unless the church is like the Church of the Marxists, whatever that is, like the halls of government, some sort of Orwellian thing. Yeah, that's Delia Ramirez. And while this is going on, people get tired. I mean, you get tired, I get tired, your dad gets tired, everyone listening gets tired.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on with the city of Chicago? Is it being improved? Are the schools being improved?
Well, no.
Is the CTA being improved?
No, although they're going to try to spend $1 billion to fix it, but that's it's this whole we need to walk before we run type of mentality. That's one of those things that drives me insane about the state is that you've got the unions running all these ads and all of this propaganda about trying to push to get this funding through. And so for those who don't know, I mean, there's in Chicago, there's a CTA, which runs the transit, the buses and trains. Then you have in suburban, you have what's called PACE, PACE also does paratransit within the city, and they run most of the bus lines.
It's another scam. I mean, I'm not able to move around myself now, and I understand that it's needed, but it just has the markings of a scam, political scam.
Yeah, I mean, it's a service. Pace. Yeah, I mean, it's a service. The buses are used. I mean, the scam within it is the structure of the labor agreements that, so some people will say. And just to finish the point, too, there's also the RTA, which was created to fix the CTA once many decades ago because it was being poorly run and it was full of graft and it was, people were making money for not doing work. And we're right back where we started 30 years ago. And so there's all this bureaucracy. We've got leaders of all these groups making big six-figure incomes.
Yeah.
And we've got, the workers who it's been reported, and I've seen that this is part of their deal. People who work for the CTA, rank and file, they have to keep almost 40% of the people that are, scheduled to come to work tomorrow. They have to keep an extra 40% on standby to cover the no-shows because the way their labor contract is written out, that you can no-show, I think it's like 8 times a year, and nothing happens. You just say, yep, I'm not going to go to work today. And so multiply that out by the 1,000 plus people who work for it, and you wind up having this overinflated workforce. Then you have people running overtime who are now getting double, triple time. Becomes this piggy bank that the unions are trying to protect. And meanwhile, the services are dwindling, the safety is going out the window, and people are deciding not to ride it. So the revenue is depleted. And what's their solution? Throw more tax dollars at it so we can hire more think tanks and working groups to figure out the problems. We know the problems.
More tax dollars. And another thing that you forgot to mention.
Yeah.
People who work in the administration of these bureaucracies can go to work wearing their fuzzy pink slippers, sitting on their chairs. They're not moving. They don't ride the CTA.
Mm-hmm.
They learned from their boss, who now has been replaced. They don't have to ride the CTA. The CTA administrators don't ride it. And it is all a function of the Democratic Party in Springfield. It's all about feather bedding, as you said, and union contracts. It has nothing to do with the service. It has nothing to do with keeping a psycho off the train so they won't clip their toenails while they're sitting in the seat. And you're trying to
That's the least down. Of your problems on the CTA these days.
All you have to do is see a guy with his You know what? I don't believe in capital punishment, really, but I'm kind of leaning toward it now. If you take your shoe off and show your foot in a public space, you should be shot, I think. Because that's just the lack of civility. Like if you're riding on an airport in an airplane and somebody takes, because now we're getting into, can we just talk about what we have to do to maintain civility? It's going to be summer now. We're in the summertime, springtime, summer. People wear no socks on their shoes, right? Under their shoes. So if you take your shoes off on the airport, on the airplane, and let your feet, toes get some air, and you put your naked foot up on the seat that I'm going to be sitting on, do I have the right to chop your head off right now or the leg off?
I don't think so. I have to consult with the Constitution, but I'm pretty sure no. But yeah, that's more of a downfall of humanity, society, right? We'd rather shame somebody and call them out online, you know, take a picture of it, go online, and then like, oh my God, look at this jerk, instead of being like, hey, you're a jerk, put your shoes on. You know, because
if you say, hey, put your bleeping shoes on, son of a bleep, what will happen? He'll stand up and push his fat belly into your fat belly. And the next thing you know, all your little white guys with their little arms flailing and their heads, their jaws, they always pull their jaws out of the line of fire like, I don't know, like kangaroos boxing, but they without the muscle, you know?
Well, you could do it politely, tell them that they're an idiot. And maybe stave off the belly-to-belly confrontation.
The street fight ability of American males is like really low.
Well,
really low.
I mean,
I'm just saying, I'm out of it now. I have nothing that I have no skin in that game anymore. I'm just saying.
Well, you're not wrong. I mean, it's
like a baseball fight,
right? We don't teach boxing, and you know, there are people don't
keep your chin down, move in, right? Attack,
duck and dive.
No, it's just counter. Chin up. Like move your face away and slap.
Yeah.
Pathetic. Right.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. But hey, good news, John. We had, you know, Memorial Day came and went, and the number of shootings was well below the average the last 5 years, which was right around like 46 or so. Yeah. When it was 24 shot.
Yeah, what was the temperature?
Well, it was hovered in the mid-60s, so it wasn't cold, but it wasn't warm.
When it was like in the 50s at night, when mass groups of youths are outside in the street, because like we had just when the weather started warming up just the other night, we had in front of on 78th and Troop, I think.
Yeah, right in front of St. Sabina.
Right in front of St. Sabina, people were gathering to celebrate a prom. I don't know why. Why are you celebrating your prom on 78th and Troop?
Yeah, right. I can think of nicer places, but yeah, right.
But anyway, yeah. And then the police were trying to get these kids off the street and then
disperse.
What happened? A shooter came by and popped seven of them, right?
Yeah, seven shot. It was, you know, it's a terrible, terrible thing.
Who's to blame for that besides the shooter himself?
Their parents. That would be my starting point. For, you know, kids don't get guns just on a whim. You know, it's not like there's usually evidence. There's usually a lifestyle that leads up to that. So, I don't understand.
Dare say feral.
I would never take your word, John. That's your word.
Because I used the word feral once in a Tribune, and immediately the whole world fell apart. Like, oh my God. There's no dad in the house, no mom in the house. They're just kids, and I guess living on a diet of chips, right? And chips and Coke, and pointing guns at each other in a video. I don't know what to say about that. Is that feral? I don't know. But whatever happened, and the people were shot.
Man, yeah, it's the city. The city is trending lower this year for murders and shootings than years past. And
why is that, Jeff? You finally kill all the people and they're gone? They're not around anymore? You can't kill them?
There's plenty of young kids on the streets. It's not a decline. You'd have to have a serious, we went through that whole spell, and when it was really, really bad, when we were averaging more shootings and deaths in Chicago here than it was in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Right. No, I mean, who knows? We don't have the resources of the here in the Chicago way to go deep and get the numbers, and it's too early really to tell. A couple of hypotheses. I mean, we do have a stark change. I know we might disagree on that, but a stark change in the state's attorney's office is now that Kim Fox has gone, because she's kid gloved everybody, and it does seem like Eileen Burke is up the ante and put more pressure on people to charge at a higher degree and get federal charges.
Is Tony Preckwinkle still there picking judges? Yeah.
So well, until then, I mean, yeah, that's true.
Until she's gone, there won't be a change. But
well, I mean, incremental change, full change, sure. But
you're doing I have to give you credit. You're doing the glass half full guy. Glass half full, Jeff.
That's
so
right.
I want to ask you again, because now we're coming towards the, now we'll be in coming to June. And in June, Father's Day. Now I saw some stories about in the news, like Father's Day gift for the dog daddy. I saw that. I didn't even want to open it.
Dog daddy. I don't know. We're lucky you don't clip some of that stuff, John, because if we were on the radio, that we'd be running dog daddy every time.
Or you could have cat daddy.
That's still just, it sounds weird.
I know it does sound weird, but it is kind of like there's a beat to it, dog daddy.
Yeah, sure.
Daddy. But here you go. Would you... I don't think you love cats, and I don't like them, but I like dogs. I am not a dog daddy. You are not a cat dad. They're not kids. They're our pets because we love them and we want the best for them. To treat them as kids means that you're not really taking care of them, I think.
I mean, they're family members, the extended family members.
But the thing is, in a certain weekend in June, would you have them cooking Italian sausage on the grill? Because they can't do it. They're dogs and cats.
Oh, yeah. If my cats could cook, they'd be running roughshod over this place. Well, that's why, the joke is that cats, specifically, that the cats had thumbs, they'd do all that stuff for us, but they wouldn't give us any of it. Yeah, I'm certainly, I get cringy when people go over the top with that, treating their pets as, quote, children and calling themselves cat mom and cat dad. I mean,
that's pathetic. You deserve another slap in the mouth just for that.
Yeah, it can go too far. I mean, we have four cats, Christine and I are not, my wife and I are not, not the type to have children. My wife, especially, she's got a lot of health issues that would make it hard. And it's, maybe adopting is something we'd want to do, but
yeah.
Yeah. So we treat,
the cats.
We treat our cats, very well. And then we take care of them, and they bring us lots of joy. Cause not the same joy as a child. I have plenty of friends, but yeah, it goes too far. I mean,
I'm not trying to cut you down on that.
No.
I love you guys. But here's the thing. Would you, since they don't have opposable thumbs, they can't grill Italian sausage. And I just want you to know that coming up on the Chicago Way podcast, we're going to try to get a person who knows about grilling Italian sausage on the podcast with us. Do you think we can do that, Jeff?
Oh, I'm sure we know someone.
Yeah, we got to try that. Because I think people grill hot dogs and sausage, they do it too fast.
Right. They char it. They make a char dog, which is a thing, but not necessarily
you
a
can
good thing.
Char dog is good. But
well, I mean, the charred dog with the D.
Yeah, I love charred dogs. But
well, I mean, the one that's black and crispy, it's got the skins roasted off.
I don't want them. I don't want them burnt.
Right.
It's the difference, you know? So, yeah, we'll have one of these experts on. One other thing I wanted to ask about, Jeff, and that is, you watching anything good on TV?
I mean, Clarkson's Farm is one of my favorite things. For those who don't know, Jeremy Clarkson of Top Gear and Grand Tour fame, and you know, writer for columnist in England, is got his own. He is a great show. You know, he's
so funny.
Yeah, it's in his fourth season. They've started filming on the fifth season, and he's a guy who, you know, spent a lot of his formative years in London, and then about 20 years ago bought a farm in the Cotswolds, of kind of a very rural, quiet, banal kind of area of England. Bought a farm, lots of acreage, wanted the farmhouse so he could have a respite from the city. And then
it's hilarious.
Yeah. During COVID, he decided that he was going to move there full time. And then Amazon came to him.
Chasing the lambs and all
and
that.
So it's great. So it's a fish out of water kind of thing. He took over this farm, and there's a young gentleman by the name of Caleb Cooper, who was like 19, 20 when they started, a young kid who had been working on these farms for his whole life, and is kind of teaching him the ropes. And it's very funny, but it's in its fourth season now, and they've expanded, and he goes up against, you know, local government, and he's trying to do this and I will say at a loss. I mean, he's quite wealthy. He's made tons of money, and his neighbors are now all wealthy. It's funny. He's got like the Beckhams moved in around the corner from him, and all these, you know, hoity-toity types have become flocking to this area, mostly because of what he's doing. But he's promoting farming, and it's really shows the struggles that farmers go with. He's a great storyteller, and he has a shop where he only has local things from local farmers, and he sells most of it at a loss. You know, he's not making any money off of it. He's started a pub where he's selling food and stuff and drink that's only made locally. And people complain about the prices, and he says, well, you know, I'm paying premium to these local farmers because they need to sell at a premium so they can maintain their livelihood. And then I'm selling it to cover that cost. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. But it's always busy. It's plenty of fun. Check it out. It's on Amazon Prime. It's very good.
I love it. I love that show. And I thank you so much, because he has such good timing. His not only the things that he says, but the way he says them. The mm-hmm. timing is impeccable.
He's very creative. He comes up with some really funny stuff and interesting ways of going about problems and creating his own projects that are just, you know, faffs, as he calls them, about going off and doing stuff. And I highly recommend it. Check it out.
And I'd like to make my own recommendation for a short series that is extremely violent. So it fits in with my whole theme of chopping people's heads off.
Capital murder. Right.
Capital murder for putting your feet on the movie theater chair. Okay. But it's called American Primeval. And it's streaming now. I don't have the name of it where you could find it. I think it's Netflix or.
I think, I believe so. Let me double check with it. This is Netflix, is it? And it's
Taylor Kitsch,
right?
He looks like, when you see this guy, you recognize him from movies in the past.
Mm-hmm.
He's like real pretty. I mean, and you can't, it's not something you would associate with him, but.
Yeah. And it's Peter Berg is the progenitor of it. He's, you know, Friday Nights, Lots of the Kingdom, Rundown, Battleship, Lone Survivor. I mean, he's got a really good handle on making gritty stuff.
Action stuff.
Yeah.
So it involves American woman trying to make her way across the West. It involves Indians, Native Americans, clashing with the white people. And it involves another clash underneath that of between the white Europeans, the Mormons, and the other settlers. And so it's in Utah. It's really, really, really good.
But it was a violent time.
But it doesn't. It's not sentimental violence. It's not like pretty violence. And I think it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's very good. And there's no doubt. And it's well done.
This one is good. And I recommend it highly. Mm. Because you know what? There's another thing you could do besides grilling Italian sausage and watching TV. Go outside.
Touch grass, as the kids say.
Do they do it?
It seems less and less so.
Do people do that? I like to do it. Yeah. And I just want to close this thing when I'm thinking about, I wanted to give you the full quote of what Eddie Verdoliak told me years ago. You've got to understand something about the Irish, the Daily Irish, Verdoliak says. The grandfather and him fading, the fast Eddie coming out. It's the Irish first, and everyone else is a Polak. Everybody. I'm Croatian, and to them I was a Polak. The blacks are Polaks, the Latinos, everybody. Lekowicz and Wojcik are Polaks. That's how they are. The Irish are minority, but they have all the jobs, the political jobs, the political spots. Why? They play divide and conquer. It's smart politics, Verdoliak said. But it's more than that with them. They're the dailies inside, and everyone else outside is a Polak, all Polaks. And I always think of that because this is the city of tribes. And now one of the people who are from that original Irish political world is subject to 12 years in prison. And maybe as we close out here, I want to ask Jeff Carlin, Mike Madigan is over 80 years old, is he not?
Yes, he's 83 as of this taping.
And the feds want him to do 12 years in prison, yes?
Yes, they do.
So what do you think of that? Do they want him dead? They want him to die in prison? Let's say they give him 10 years. It's only 10 instead of 12. And he serves 9.
I find a little bit of irony in the fact that, you know, the creator of the phrase Mad Afghanistan is holding a candle for Mike Madigan.
It's not a torch, my friend.
I know.
I saw him at Palermo. I saw him at Palermo's the other day, and he looked really old, and he was polite and a gentleman, as always. He's from that world, that Verdoliak world, the Eddie Burke world.
Yeah.
In part of that, you know, the City of Tribes world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same world that the pointy-headed panic attacks mayor is from. It's called Chicago. I'm thinking, you want him to die in prison? I don't know.
Well, I don't think their goal is for him to die in prison. It's just certainly going to be, it might be an outcome. I mean, he'll be released before, if he becomes, you know, terminally ill and sickly. That's, you know, is the way that things have happened here. I think George Ryan wasn't he released early because of that?
Did George Ryan, was he released immediately into the loving embrace of Michael Sneed, where he could make soup with her?
I don't know about that.
I asked,
but here's my take on it, John. For whatever it's worth, I don't feel there should be a, well, I can, you know, game the system. I can do what's been, you know, found illegal. As long as I can outlive the legality of it, right? If I get to a certain age, then, you know, I'm okay. You know, I made it. I feel like that sends the wrong message. I feel like that's not the way it should be. You know, if you do a crime, you commit some crime and you're found guilty and you wind up having to do time and you just happen to be old, well, then that's unfortunately, that's the risk you take. You're talking about, risks, people coming into this country illegally, the risk they take is they get caught and they get kicked out. That's a risk. There is a risk involved.
So if I'm mean enough and cruel enough and I can outlast you, I can do whatever I want. And then right. I can outlast you, and then I can laugh, kind of silently laugh as you turn away because you run out of time. Right. Is that what it is?
That's what it seems like. But and the reality is it's not like he's going to Statesville. He's not going to be winding up in a dark and hardened hole. It's going to be more of a softer white collar type. It's not to say it's easy, but it's, that's the reality. They take that into account when people are placed in jail usually. So I don't know. I mean, you don't want, is it torture to put a young man in jail and not an older man in jail? Is it torture to put a man who's ailing and older in jail because maybe he's older and ailing? I don't know.
Maybe because I'm old now, maybe because I'm old and I'm pushing 70 and I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to be, making prison tacos when I'm 75 or 80, Can you imagine having to eat prison tacos? Like making them with Fritos, like we did that one day?
Yeah. Oh. I don't know.
Just in case you missed it, one day Jeff and I did a whole podcast on prison snacks.
Live radio. Well, we did that on live radio. We did that.
Oh, you did?
Remember we did that with Jim. And I think he had the recipe. Or who had the recipe? But we did it with the prison tacos. You save some of the meat from your... quote, I'm putting air quotes around your meat from the commissary, and you get a bag of Fritos from the commissary, and you make your own prison tacos.
Nothing like tortillas made of crushed Fritos,
Right.
Well, all right. Listen, everyone, go out and touch some grass, okay? Watch a good TV show. Watch a good movie. Have a grilled delight. Say hi. Give your girlfriend or wife a flower or two. Go outside in the garden, cut a flower, give it to her. If you can't give your honey a flower, what's this world coming to? For Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, my friend, no longer the Eeyore of the Chicago Way, now he's come back, Jeff, future physics teacher. And for me, John Cass, editor of johncastnews.com, where you always get a good cup of common sense. Join us again next time, won't you, on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.